The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 211 of the Talking Chop Podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Friday night, which is a little bit of an odd time for us, but time is out the window at this point in the cycle of life. And joining me this evening to talk about whatever we decide to talk about is the great Scott Coleman. Hello, Scott.
How's it going, Brad? Yeah, I looked it up. Last time we chatted was March 8th, about 3 weeks ago, and life was a little simpler back then before all of this happened. So glad to be on with you, and as always, I'm sure we'll find something to talk about.
Yeah, you and I, it was a simpler time. We went pretty long, actually, talking about Atlanta Braves baseball, which seems like a lifetime ago. And I know Eric and I did the most recent podcast about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks ago now, and we were kind of just at a loss for words for most of that podcast. I'm still that way, but I wanted to get, before we dive into the agreement that's been reported on about between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, that's sort of the baseball portion of this podcast that we're going to get to here in a few minutes. But before we get to that, because you and I haven't talked, at least in this format, how are you handling this whole thing? Because it's very bizarre. I know you are about as passionate about sports as I am. So, I guess just open the floor up to you just to say, how are you? Like, what do you have to do these days? What are your days looking like? And then we'll talk about how sports is not around and we like sports.
Yeah, the no sports thing is throwing me off. It really is. I was just flipping before we started flipping channels, and it's like, what on earth am I going to watch tonight? Is pretty much what it's been the last few weeks. This is for somebody. I'm 28. By far, the most drastic thing that's ever happened in my adult life. I was 10 or 11 years old for 9/11, and old enough to realize what was going on, but maybe not old enough to appreciate just the magnitude of it. So. I'm hoping that obviously everything works out, and very thankful to everybody. I think the work that healthcare professionals and store clerks and you name it, it's honestly, it's heroic work. And I'm fortunate to have a job where I'm able to work from home. I hope people are working from home or staying home as much as they can and just stay healthy. And who knows what the future holds for sports and life and all that. But it really has been like anything we've ever experienced with just how crazy this is. I think we all were kind of naively hoping that this was just going to stay away, and it very clearly has not. And now we just have to hope that it's sooner rather than later that life kind of goes on as normal.
Yeah, I'm glad you said the thing about the what I would describe as heroic work going on. Especially, I mean, I think it's very obvious the people that work in the healthcare profession right now are doing heroic things. But even beyond that, like the grocery store people just work at people that work at stores, people doing even food delivery and the simple things that we even now probably take for granted. Just the fact that stuff's going on, and there's a lot of people that still have to go to work and physically be at work and put themselves at some level of risk that is higher than what you and I are doing, being able to work from home. So, obviously grateful for being able to do that, both day job and sports stuff, be able to work from home. But yeah, it's, for instance, like if you're ordering food, might want to tip quite a bit on the food delivery, that kind of stuff. It's like, appreciating people that are still out there, grinding, in the same way. And I know I'm working probably more than I normally am, which is kind of funny. I'm doing it from home, but it's different. I'm allowed to be at home and I'm not at risk in that way. So that whole, just the nature of that is kind of goes without saying, but it's always something I want to start off with just acknowledging that, at the very least, everybody hopefully is staying safe and feeling all right and all that stuff. So as we transition a little bit, I know we're both working at home, but when you're not working, I want to be a little bit light about this to some degree. When you're not working at home, what have you been doing? Because, candidly, I still have this day job. I work all day normal. I would say I'm still, I'm sitting here working like I normally would be, and at night I do have 3 or 4 shifts a week, for Up Rocks where I'm actually still working in sports at night, but there's still a lot more hours, in front of the TV than I normally would have, to be sure. And, when you magnify that by the fact that there's not sports to watch, like I'm kind of at a loss for things to do. What have you been doing to, pass the time since there's not live sports to watch?
Yeah, I think I've been trying to get outside as much as I can. Granted, I live in Arizona where it was 78 degrees yesterday. So, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, just get away from your phone is something I've really tried to do, because you'll go crazy just looking at it all day. We just bought a house. So I'm fortunate that I have some stuff to do, yard work and all that has almost been relaxing, a way to unplug, if you will, from the real world. TV wise, Tiger King on Netflix, highly recommended, maybe the craziest, I don't even know what you call it, TV show, documentary.
I have not seen it, but everybody else seems to have seen it. So I guess I have to watch
it. It is worth the watch. You're going to say WTF about 25 times an episode without even realizing it. So Tiger King, enjoying that. What else am I watching, Brad? Succession on HBO, very good. I'm enjoying that if you have HBO. Just trying to take my mind off, try to read a book, spend some time with your friends and your family as much as you can. And yeah, you go a little crazy just looking at the news headlines and numbers and stats and all that, because it's just a lot right now. And I think if you don't unplug for at least 20 minutes at a time here and there, you're going to go a little crazy. So that's what I've been up to. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, I definitely have read and watched too much about the coronavirus coverage, and I've tried to stop the last few days doing as much of that, just because it'll get in your head and kind of bum you out in a serious way. I do want to be informed about it, and something like, I'm not extremely dialed into news on a regular basis, like non-sports news. I sort of know what's going on in the world, but I candidly am not the most plugged in person when it comes to that kind of stuff, but in this instance, I kind of went too far into that originally and kind of got in my own head. So I try to tap out a little bit. I live in an apartment, which makes it a little bit more difficult because there's a lot of people around. Like getting outside, it's doable, but there really isn't a lot of space for me to get outside around my place right now. Like I have a nice little porch thing that I can sit at, but like as far as moving around and not being at a threat of being around people, it's kind of tough. I do have the treadmill inside to get moving a little bit. But yeah, it's kind of a tough spot there. But watching a lot of stuff, catching up on shows that I wanted to watch. I had this movie list of movies that I just kind of compile that people have recommended, old movies, new movies, that I've never seen, and I've been ticking off one or two of those per day just because of the amount of time that I have.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That's helpful. I'm not sure how much it's important, but it's certainly something to get done. And, you know, pick your show or two that you want to knock out. I know Ozark season 3 came out like today. I haven't seen any of that yet, but I've watched the first two seasons of that. So yep. I'll be watching that at some point. And Tiger King has to be watched apparently, because
it does.
Everybody seems to, I'm not sure they love it, but it's, they're baffled by it if nothing else. So
whether it was intentional or not, Netflix has to be, very happy that they had that in their back pocket. Ready to go, as you know, half the country is sitting home all day long.
Yeah, they seem to always have something new people are talking about, but I think that one especially has gotten magnified given the fact that everybody is home. And it's not just them, the streaming services are, I'm sure, just dominating the world right now. Disney Plus, like, did the, I guess it was like Frozen 2, they dropped early, yeah, and that kind of stuff, which I don't have kids, so it's not, I'm not down on Disney Plus necessarily, but. Yeah, just stuff to watch. I mean, hopefully not just sitting there watching stuff, but it is very helpful. I did think the other day, I'm not sure if you have that, I had this thought or not, but the other day I was thinking, like, what happens like 10 years ago if this happens? And just not have, I mean, we'd have like DVDs maybe to watch, but the lack of streaming content that existed, you know, when I was in college, you know, 10, 15 years ago versus now. It would be kind of wild to consider like what we would have done for this length of time without it. And people don't have it. And that's something I kind of forget as well, is that I have friends or people that I've worked with that like don't have every streaming service and like don't have unending stuff to watch. And they pretty much just sit there and watch CNN all day, which I understand. Like there's stuff going on, but just we're kind of lucky in one respect right now. And yeah, that is the fact that there are so many options.
Yeah. It's hard to get bored. Right, like whether it's,
well, we're still bored, I think, but
to an extent, yeah, right. But no, you're right. It's like 15 years ago. How'd you find out about trades? We looked in the newspaper the next morning. You know, now
or the ESPN ticker or something like that. You're just like at the mercy of watching the full scroll of the ESPN ticker for 20 minutes, waiting on one score or one transaction. Yeah.
So let me ask you this: what's your favorite sports movie of all time?
Ooh, it's funny. I think I almost said this at the beginning of the podcast. We have a couple of we've been sort of batting around ideas for like standalone shows we could do. This is one of them. So I don't want to give it all away. But
oh, okay.
But right. Scott, it's good. It's actually a good question. I hadn't thought about this yet. I've made some notes on other things. Number one sports movie. I think the one that I have seen the most is Remember the Titans.
That's mine. There you go.
I'm not sure it's my favorite, but it's certainly on the short list. I could probably quote the whole thing to you. It's kind of hit me in that spot. Yeah. I think we're, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but, you know, age-wise, it kind of hits right for where we are in that world. I'm actually looking up now to see when it came out. Yeah, it came out in 2000, so I was 14. Yeah, that sounds about right, when I would have been dialed in on that kind of thing. I mean, there's lots of different sports movies that are in different different areas, but that's the one I probably know the most. I don't know. I've always enjoyed it. I'm a sucker for a good sports movie. I mean, it's not like have I watched a sports movie this whole time during this hiatus? I'm not sure I have, but like if I do watch one, it's like hard to not get sucked into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we got Miracle, the
that's a good one.
USA hockey team movie was on the other day, so I caught like half of that. That's a good one. Baseball wise, I like Field of Dreams personally. It's probably my favorite baseball movie. I don't know about you.
It's a good one. I am partial to two very silly baseball movies. That again, I think it's probably because of the age that I am. I am a huge Rookie of the Year stan.
Yes,
I love Rookie of the Year.
Classic.
Absolute classic. And I also love Little Big League. Those are sort of two almost like, you know, similar but not similar movies. Like they're not realistic at all, but it's like I just liked those movies, probably because of the age thing that I was and all that stuff. But yeah, Field of Dreams, more serious one for sure. Sandlot,
I don't think I've seen Little Big League. Oh yeah, Sandlot's a classic.
Little Big League is the one where the kid becomes the manager and he's like 15 and he's managing the Twins.
Never seen it.
Oh yep. Man, that's a must. You got to find it. In fact, use this time, Scott, to go back and
play. Yeah, by the next time we podcast, whenever the hell that's going to be, I'll be well versed in it.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about your consumption of media, and this will sort of tie into the other stuff that we're about to talk about. But I know Fox Sports Southeast and Fox Sports South are running a lot of game replays right now, both Hawks and Braves, at least locally. They're running both of those quite a bit. I know you're not in the market, so I'm not even sure you could get those right now. But I'm wondering if people are watching. I mean, I'm sure people are, but I am not watching a ton of those. The other day I had them. I had a couple of those on where, you know, it's like, oh, there's a Braves game on from last year, 2 years ago. And it's a little bit interesting to me, you know, for some reason I'm more drawn to like the college basketball replays that I've been seeing, like the NCAA tournament replays.
Yep. Same here.
But I've not been super, I mean, I don't know. It's something about not being and super enthralled by watching like a regular season baseball game from 2 years ago, like on the TV. I don't know. It's kind of strange to me, and people, it's kind of, I just remembered something. I think it was Fox Sports Southeast put out a tweet asking like what kind of games they should be showing, and people wanted to see World Series games. It's like, guys, they don't have the rights to World Series games. They can't put, yeah, World Series games on. It'd be fun to watch the 95 World Series again, like in full, especially as an adult when I was not an adult back then, but that's not, yeah, really an option, I don't think.
It's funny you say that. Me personally, I'm not super into, you know, the 10 best Braves games of 2019. I just wouldn't do it for me, even if I was in Atlanta or the Atlanta area. I don't think I would tune in regularly for those. I would love to, as somebody who kind of grew up in the 90s and that first wave of Braves dominance, I would love to be able to go back and watch, you know, games 1 through 7 of all the various World Series. I mean, it would be, I would enjoy that. That's something that, I mean, I've seen them over the years. YouTube has a bunch of videos, and MLB's video stuff has gotten a lot better, so you can catch at least most of the games. But yeah, I'm with you. I found myself watching CBS for like 2 hours last weekend for the March Madness Classic reruns from a few years ago. Those I enjoy. But yeah, just watching, you know, a Braves comeback from June 4th, 2018. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. If it was on, I'd probably leave it on for a couple innings. But because I'm not local, like, for example, the Diamondbacks, I'm not turning in any Diamondbacks games from the last couple of years. So
it would be fun, I think, to watch, like, just the ninth inning of games. Like if you know a comeback's coming, it might be more fun to watch. But I have some trouble watching a full game that happened a year ago that, yeah, was a regular season game. It didn't really mean all that much. It's kind of strange to me. It's almost the same thing on the Hawks side. People were shocked, and people were asking me on Twitter why I wasn't like tweeting about the replays of Hawks games. And it's like, this stuff happened 3 months ago. I watched the game 2 or 3 times then and reported on it and talked about it. And I don't want to watch that again. Like, I'm kind of all set on that. So I don't know. It's, yeah, interesting. They should show them, because I'm sure people are watching them. And something that I think about in a sports media landscape, obviously there's just not stuff for people to show right now, especially that the local networks, regional, particularly with Braves coverage. You know, Fox Sports Southeast, Fox Sports South, they rely, I mean, pretty much every night for almost 6 months they have a Braves game on, and without that to put up, like, they're in kind of a hole. I mean, everybody is, ESPN is, ESPN2 is, even networks like FS1 are in these like content gaps, but it's even probably more punctuated on those regionals when they don't have games to show, because that's like pretty much, oh, all people watch those for.
Yeah, I mean, you can only show the, you know, behind the Braves or whatever, the
rain delay coverage. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, the driving around, the Diamondbacks do a 30-minute. The host sits in a car with a player and they just kind of drive around like Phoenix or Scottsdale or whatever. Like, you can only show those so many times to fill the news gap.
Yeah. So prayers up for the Fox Sports Southeast executives that are tasked with filling stuff up. All right. I think it's probably enough just incoherent banter on the podcast. We don't always do that, but I feel like people kind of want it right now in some respects. So maybe you're like getting to know Scott and I a little bit more through this process. Oh, I forgot. I had one legitimately like recommendation thing that I wanted to put out there that's kind of sports. Have you seen the OJ documentary on ESPN? Like the 5-part monstrous OJ Made,
yes,
in America documentary?
30 for 30.
Yeah. Yeah. They were showing it, I think, like 2 at a time again this week. And I saw it the first time. That is an absolute masterpiece. If you haven't seen it and you want to kill some time, it's like 7.5 hours. Of a 5-part documentary, and for some reason I just am fascinated by the OJ case, but it goes beyond the case. That's the one thing that I actually wanted to say out loud that is kind of sports that I recommend. So if you haven't seen that, check it out.
The other one that's good too, it's on FX, was the American Crime Story for O.J. Simpson. That was, I think it was Cuba Gooding Jr. was
yeah.
O.J. And,
it's far more absurd, but it's extremely entertaining for
yeah,
sure.
It was well done. Yeah, yeah, as somebody who knew a general idea of what happened, but you know, again, it was a little before my knowing appreciating what was going on time. Yeah, yeah, there you go. So yeah, no, the OJ, you're right, it is fantastic. If you're looking for something to watch for an hour or two every night over a full week, it is, it's really worth a watch.
There you go. All right, we're gonna hard pivot now to actual sports news, and I'm using news in quotation marks, but it is kind of news. It's not only Braves related, but because there's no Braves content right now to talk about, we'll talk about the new reported deal. It's not been announced just yet, but the key people that know things, like Jeff Pass and ESPN and Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, are reporting on this, so it's going to happen, and it probably already has happened. But the two sides, Major League Baseball and the Players Association, agreed to a deal on Thursday night to set some things more firmly in terms of like salary stuff, service time stuff, and sort of the overall situation of what's not happening right now with the season and what might be happening in the future. You know, the big domino is that they're kind of, you know, they're not ruling out the season by any means, but there was some interesting language in there that Passan reported about the 2020 season that not starting until some of the following conditions are met. And one of those is that they wanted to wait until there's no ban on mass gatherings that would, quote, limit the ability to play in front of fans, end quote. There is an exemption in there when it comes to neutral sites, where they're economically feasible is the way they put that. But it seems like baseball, by that wording, wants to wait till they can play in front of fans. And I have some news for baseball. That won't be happening for quite a while, I don't think. I'm not an expert, and that's something I want to say right now. Anything that we say on this podcast is informed as much as it possibly could be by reading other people. We have no idea what's going on. So I guess, what's your initial reaction to reading the broad scale stuff about, like, they don't want to restart until then? That's the one that kind of surprised me, that they would come out and be as specific as that, because I think everyone, maybe not everyone, but most people that I have read on this topic have basically started with some form of, yeah, we'll play, but without fans for a while. And if they're not willing to do that, that gets into a situation where you're going to be waiting a while longer, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. When I read Jeff Passan's reports about what is going to be part of this agreement, my first reaction was they're not going to play this year. Now, again, I'm going to echo what you said. I am not an expert. Maybe that can be the title of this podcast. We are not experts. But it's going to be a long time before you can have thousands and thousands and thousands of people shoulder to shoulder together for 3 to 4 hours. I think what the season is going to come down to is whether or not owners and players are going to play in empty stadiums or not. I think that would be very weird, but if it seems like the players, for numerous reasons, really want to play for salary reasons and service time reasons and all of that, to me, it's just going to come down to whether or not fans are going to be allowed. If you and I and most people assume that fans are not going to be allowed into stadiums and mass gatherings in the next 6 months or so, months, whatever you want to say, I think it's just going to come down to if they're willing to play in empty stadiums, if they're willing to play in the spring training stadiums, because there are so many other things to consider here. Because, again, you're in this situation, as we saw with the NBA, and maybe it's not quite apples to apples here, but if all of a sudden you're playing these games and one player gets sick, is it going to be an immediate shutdown again? Because the very last thing baseball wants to do is start up the season and then, you know, four or five guys on the same team all get sick. Well, then you have many other problems, which I probably don't need to explain why that would be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and part of the wording in the Passan reporting included the fact that one of the conditions is that medical experts determine that there are, quote, no health risks to player, staff, fans, or anybody else, et cetera, with commissions and the union able to revisit playing in empty stadiums as a possibility. Now, you know, I know there's been plenty of plans on the NBA side, at least rough, you know, proposal plans that have been reported about, like, basically playing playing without fans for sure, but also doing it like almost in like a controlled environment where you could bring in basically the whole league, or at least close to the whole league, into a central spot. And because they have, you know, the NBA and the NHL are already in the middle of their seasons, and they have some incentive to try to finish those up, get to the playoffs, et cetera. Baseball, you're starting anew. And also in baseball, you have to have, particularly on the pitching side, guys got to be able to ramp up, and it takes a little bit of luck. You kind of need some sort of training in the way that you probably don't necessarily have to have in basketball or basketball or hockey. But the other thing that I wanted to point out here, it's probably a good time to do it now, and Passan kind of referred to this as well at different times, there's sort of this overarching question on whether baseball even wants to play with no fans. Whereas I think, at least on the NBA side, I know this for an absolute fact. Everyone kind of agrees on this. If they can play even without fans, they still want to do it, because the money really comes from the TV side more in basketball. And it's just a little bit easier to do that. You're talking about a controlled environment inside of an arena that doesn't have to be very big. Whereas in baseball, there's a lot more dynamics in play. But one of those that's key here is that there's a lot more people involved in a baseball game. That's one thing.
Yeah.
It's more than double the roster, et cetera. But even beyond that, baseball's financial model is really, really reliant on gates, which means people attending games. You're talking about 162 games per season, obviously, but 81 home games. And while the TV, especially regional networks, the TV is huge there, and teams are obviously making, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year from the regional networks, but the gate revenue for, you know, some of these teams that really draw are averaging 40,000 fans 80 times in a season. And just do the math in your head about, like, between ticket revenue and food revenue and all that stuff, giving up the gate revenue in baseball might just be untenable. It may not be a good financial idea. I'm not smart enough to know this, but whereas they've already kind of determined in the NBA world that playing without fans is still better than not playing at all because of the TV incentive, especially national TV incentive, in baseball, it really may not be. And I'm not an expert, but people that are smarter than I am, like Jeff Passan, have reported on this just to say, look, it's not necessarily a lock that they want to play with no fans, because financially it may not make sense.
No, you're absolutely right. That's something I hadn't really thought about, the ticket sales thing. And
it's a lot of money, man.
For me, it is. I mean, like you said, you do the math. Even if the average ticket is $25, you do the quick math in your head. I mean, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars. So, it shouldn't be a surprise that the players want to play. And that has been their consistent messaging through the MLBPA, that they want to play for service time reasons and obviously to get paid. And I think just in general, players want to play. But as you said, I think it's going to come down to the owners, because there are so many logistical questions about what you're going to do. The other thing too, the difference between baseball and the three other major sports, the NBA and the NHL, of course, are indoors with controlled situations, and football can be played in pretty much any weather, right? I mean, if football had to postpone the start of their season and just move everything back a month, they could do it, because, you know, everybody plays football when it's colder out. Baseball, they've talked about extending the season into October, November, up until Thanksgiving.
Yep.
You know, maybe half of the stadiums wouldn't realistically be viable. I mean, you want to go play a game in Minnesota in the third week of November?
I mean, all of those proposals basically include some vague reference to a neutral site for playoff games. But, like, I mean, that's conceivable, certainly. But you have to figure in, like, you have to secure that neutral site, and it's got to be either inside or it's got to be in, like, two or three markets if it's not inside. So, you know, that sounds good on paper, and I think it's at least possible that you would do that. But, you know, both sides also keep saying that they want to play as many games as possible. Like, at some point, you know, what's the cutoff? Do you want to play in a 50-game baseball season? Like, maybe you do, and I don't know. I mean, but there's like the people that are concerned with the sanctity of a season that are already yelling and screaming about less than 162, and it's like, guys, that's out the window at this point. I can't imagine them playing 162. Uh-huh. Like, that's, I mean, even if you want to be as optimistic as possible, you know, even with double headers and stuff, I just don't see how they get to a full 162, and I don't care if they do or not. Like, I want baseball to happen, but regardless, if you start as early as conceivable, I don't see how you get to that. So, like, let's already just throw out our traditional archetype in my mind of, like, what a season looks like, and it'll be creative in some form. But yeah, your point about weather is a huge one too, in addition to the gate receipts and all that stuff, is that you can't play baseball till January. It just doesn't work that well.
No, you can't. And I think, you know, let's say best case scenario, I know publicly MLB has talked about Memorial Day as a possible target for realistically, not just in, as you said, you have to ramp up, even if you want to say absolute best case scenario. I mean, then you're looking at maybe 120 games if you had kind of the quote unquote regular season until the end of September and then did playoffs in October and November, maybe. You know, if you played one doubleheader a week and then, you know, went every single day. But again, teams have to have time to travel, right?
No off days, like traveling from Atlanta to, you know, Seattle for series.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're going to do an 8-hour flight and then turn around and play a game, you know, after playing the night before. You know, again, this is unprecedented. I think people are going to have to be flexible, especially if they are able to play baseball. And it seems like just about everybody does. But with that said, players are going to get hurt. You're going to have weather delays. You're going to have travel restrictions, you know, and I guess to kind of move this on, then the schedule becomes a whole other question about what do they do with the schedule, unbalanced scheduling and all that. You know, what if somebody pointed out that if they just kind of resume the season as it was on, let's say, June 1, I think in the first 2 months of the year, the Braves play the Mets 10 times or 12 times, excuse me. They don't play the Nationals once in those first 2 months. So now you're talking about playing the Nationals 18 times over a 4-month stretch, but only playing the Mets 6 times. I don't know. It would be a weird scenario all the way around. Again, this is unprecedented. There's no book for something like this, but there are so many. I will say that I'm glad I don't work in MLB's logistics department, because they have a big job on their hands, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that we could guess on that they've all been included in this reporting from people that we trust to sort of know what's at least being discussed. But, you know, all the scheduling stuff, the rosters that would need to be expanded, probably you can't really expect guys to operate with this kind of potentially condensed schedule that includes doubleheaders without expanding the roster. And they're already going to do that this year to 26, regardless coming into the year, but it's going to be even more than that, you'd imagine, if they try to play anytime soon. So, I mean, there's all of that. That's a whole other podcast in itself about what the schedule might look like, and we'll hold off until we actually get a little bit closer to when we know what might actually happen. But that's sort of a good little preview of what it could look like potentially. But even then, like this week, there was the agreement that was reached includes like some interesting, you know, notes that I wanted to point out here. One of which is on the money side. Players are going to get what they wanted and apparently prioritized, and that they're going to get a full year of service time, even if the season is canceled and doesn't play at all. And that is huge for a lot of guys, but it's also like, you know, if you want to say for the Braves specifically, the Braves, you know, famously signed two highly lucrative 1-year deals this year with Cole Hamels and Marcell Ozuna. Those guys would just be free agents again. Like if they canceled the season, those guys are not going to ever play for the Braves under that contract. It'll just disappear. And then you add a year of service time to young guys, and the Braves are very young. So you take away a lot of that, that value in that way as well. And then, you know, on the flip side, the concession that the union made to get that in there is that they're literally not allowed to sue for their full salary. Like they're not going to be able to get their salaries if the season don't happen. So they're going to get some money. MLB advanced players a total of $170 million, apparently, for the first 2 months, split up into this 4-class system, which doesn't really matter at this moment in time for us to talk about. But, you know, there's going to be interesting if they don't play, and that's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if they don't play at all, the money part and the service time part is going to be a very interesting discussion. And even if they play a reduced schedule, I don't think guys are going to get all of their money. They'll get some of it for sure. But, you know, it's just going to, that's a whole other side, sort of another side story of like how the money breaks down, who gets what, roster situations going into 2021, et cetera, et cetera.
No, you're right. I mean, so let me ask you this, over under on 100 games played this year. Like 100 real official baseball games.
Regular season games. Okay, I mean, I have to know if they're willing to play without fans or not. That's the thing. Like, if they're willing to play without fans, then I'm probably take the over, because then they're going to try to do the doubleheader stuff and get to like 100 or 120.
Yeah, or even if they start to play without fans and then, you know, start on June 1.
Well, that's really what it is. Like, if they're not willing to start without fans, it's definitely under for me. Like, they at least have to start without fans and be willing to, like, and be willing to take the risk if they want to see it that way of, like, maybe they don't actually have fans, which goes back to what we were saying a minute ago. Owners may not want to have the season without fans. Like, that's something that people have to understand that. Just do the math in your head. Owners probably don't want to spend what they have committed to spend on payroll if they're not going to get gate receipts. That's just the reality of situation in baseball, which isn't probably the case in any of the other sports, honestly, because football is so TV driven that they would definitely want to have the season. And the NBA, I know from reporting on it, talking to people, they want to have the season, fans or not. Baseball, just think about it. Like, this sort of hit me this week too for the first time, but it really does make sense if you think about it. They really might not want to. I'm talking about the owners now. Really might not want to have a season if they can't have fans. But if we assume that they did start the season without fans, they're willing to do that, I would probably take the over, but with zero confidence at all in that prediction. What do you think?
Sure. You know, I was kind of debating in my head as you were talking it out. I mean, as of today, March 27th, March 28th, whatever, I would lean on the under. I just don't – I don't know. Maybe I'm too pessimistic about it. I just have questions about – I'm with you. I don't think owners are going to want to pay full salaries or close to it if they start to play games. I mean, that's a lot of money they have to shell out. And I know these are billion-dollar corporations that have more than enough of it. But I guess if I had to bet on it today, I'd say less than 100 games. But as you said, it totally comes down to – it sounds like the players are more – I mean, I think the players will play no matter what because they want to get paid. They just want to play.
The players want to play.
Yep, absolutely. And if you're – I mean, also just the layoff thing, I don't think any – even if you're a professional athlete, I don't think you want to go 18 months without playing competitive baseball, right?
No, I do think that the players – you know, it was important, and that was reported by multiple people that the players really wanted that year of service time. That was what they wanted the most in the entire negotiation, and they got it. But because they can't – they literally cannot sue now for their salary – They're going to want to play baseball. Like, it's just what it is. Players have incentive to play, and owners really may not. And that's what it comes down to here.
Yep. No, it's an unprecedented situation from a fan perspective. Whether or not there are fans in the stadium or not, I hope there's baseball, because the idea of not having, I mean, really, it seems like as each day passes, I guess this is maybe going down the rabbit hole a little bit. But as each day passes, it feels less and less likely that we realistically get basketball or hockey games here anytime soon. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I've not been following the hockey stuff as closely. There are a couple of interesting NBA proposals that I could see potentially getting us there, but it would certainly be a very strange landscape that requires almost like a quarantine of the league, which you could probably do. Like, what, this is a funny one that I'm not sure how realistic it is, but it got reported by ESPN today. I was at a Brian Windhorst piece, and Brian is a real reporter. There is this proposal that basically the NBA would almost move its entire operation to Las Vegas and take over like an entire casino complex and just have them all live there and play games.
Oh my God.
And it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because they're so huge. Those buildings are so huge. They have ballrooms or arenas in them where you already have an arena. You don't need fans. And then that way you can monitor, you can do all the health monitoring and the seclusion that you would need to get games off the ground. So like, you could sort of think about it and it might make sense, but it's just kind of, that's the kind of crazy stuff that you're going to hear proposed in other sports that baseball, again, cannot do, because baseball has to have a stadium. You have to have a baseball stadium, which is a lot more, it's just a lot bigger. It's a lot more difficult to manage than it is to get a basketball game going on. So I don't know. I mean, it does seem like they're not going to be playing anytime soon, but like, they're definitely paying attention to, like, you know, the way that South Korea is moving and the way that China is moving in terms of, like, maybe you just can put guys not like in a full bubble, but like do extensive testing. If you get to the where the testing can be, you know, ongoing, maybe you try it, but I don't know. I mean, this is stuff that I'm not smart enough to know, but I'm reading everything right now. But the baseball proposals are not as specific And that kind of worries me a little bit because it's more like they're just kind of crossing their fingers and hoping it's going to work out, which I'm not sure that's
really
going to happen.
I think that's kind of what a lot of folks should do. I mean, you think about, I know you're not as big of a hockey guy, but I mean, hockey arenas for playoffs are absolutely insane. I mean, I think it would be so weird to watch, you know, say the Lakers and the, I don't know, help me out here, the Bucks in the finals and in front of nobody, in front of 25 people.
And they've all said that too. I mean, LeBron's given multiple interviews where he's like, I mean, I guess we have to play, but it's going to be insanely weird. And I agree. Like, there's no precedent for that. It's
right.
So bizarre.
Yeah. The you know, hockey, you have an overtime game, the entire arena is sitting on the edge of their seat, screaming with every shot. And, you know, instead of having that reaction, somebody scores an overtime game winning goal and there's just dead silence. Like how odd would that be? I don't know. Maybe the players will play and it won't be as weird as what we think, but you know, somebody hits a half court three to send the game to overtime and there's literally not a peep. I don't know. It would be awfully weird.
The whole thing is going to be bizarre. And I've heard some people talk about, like, you know, summer league. I've been to summer league games that are as dead can be. And like, it looks fine on TV. But if you realize that there's no stakes in that game, it's just very different. That's the thing. Like all of these players have played their sports at a high level in a building that is either, you know, mostly empty. Like that's not the weird part. It's the competition level and it's the stakes being there that is a bizarre thing. Because like think about, you know, a simulated game in baseball or a, you know, an exhibition weird game in basketball. They've all done it and they'd be able to play. But think about a playoff series with nobody in it. It's just the weirdest thing in the world to think about. Like the intensity level that usually is accompanied by that kind of stakes just wouldn't feel the same. So, I mean, we'd still want to watch it at home. I think at home it would honestly...
Oh, I'd tune in, yeah.
I think at home, I firmly believe this, in pretty much all the sports, I think the viewing experience at home would be a little bit different, but no one would care. I think the in arena and in stadium experience would be the bizarre part, but having watched enough things where there are not really people in the stands for whatever reason, like summer league basketball games or, you know, exhibition football games, preseason games where there's not really anybody there, it would be weird for a minute and then we'd all adjust and it would still be the sport in front of you on TV and we'd all be thrilled to watch it. But talking about the players and just the people in the building, it would be so weird. So
yeah, it would be weird. Maybe it's one of those things that'd be weird for like a week and then we'd be used to it.
I'm sure they get used to it, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, as we sit here talking, the Braves should be playing right now in Phoenix right up the road.
Yeah, yesterday was opening day, right?
You know, if you could tell me that, hey, you either don't get baseball for, you know, 4 months to have fans in the stadium, or you can have baseball tomorrow with nobody. Well, guess what I'm picking? I'll take the empty stadium 10 times out of 10. So it's not quite that simple. There's also some player safety and concern and travelability and all that too, of course. But I don't think anyone really knows where this is going next week, a month from now, a year from now even. But it's certainly fun to think about. But yeah, I would happily settle for some empty stadiums, empty arenas if it means sports. Sooner than later.
Yeah, it kind of goes without saying, but we'll definitely say, I know you just did, but you know, we all want sports. I would love to have stuff to watch and cover, but they have to get to a point where, you know, the testing's got to be so readily available. They got to be able to do certain things. You know, ideally it would be a vaccine, which isn't going to be there for a while, but even before that, you know, the testing's got to be at a level where they could be comfortable enough having these guys play.
Yeah,
in whatever sport, and that's the thing that we just don't know how fast they're going to get there. But yeah, the player safety stuff is, you know, and not just players, you know, managers and coaches and, you know, traveling PR staff. Like, I mean, think about all the people that are involved that are not just players and coaches, even.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, trainers. I mean,
training staffs, like, you know, bat boys. You know, even people that would presumably be broadcasting the games, because one thing that they're not going to do is play games without broadcast. They're not going to do that. So you're talking about TV crews, cameramen, people that run cables. Like there's a lot more people than people realize that have to put on a broadcast.
Security staff. I mean, you think you're going to have 50 guys on the, you know, on the field, all worth upwards of $1 million with no heavy security and police. I mean,
So you're talking about people that have to have some sort of clearances and some sort of testing and health monitoring, et cetera. So yeah, a lot of dominoes that have to fall before we get to any of that stuff. But hopefully, for our sake, as people that have no idea what's going on in that world necessarily, we're just hoping that games happen at some point. Before we get too carried away, I think we're almost done on this podcast. But last thing that I want to mention about the agreement, that before I forget to say it, the draft might be as short as 5 rounds in 2020, which I'm not a huge MLB draft guy, but I know our guys on the staff, like Matt Powers, would just like melt if he only had 5 rounds of MLB draft coverage. That'd be strange. And the draft's going to apparently move from June back to July, probably. That's part of this thing. Also, you can't trade picks or slot money with this agreement. And the international signing period is getting delayed. And some of the bonuses that you would get as a draftee would be a lot smaller than what you receive now. And they'd have deferred payments, presumably to have clubs save some money while they're not making money. So, I mean, lots of weird. I mean, also new arbitration settings. If they have a shortened season, that's going to impact numbers. And right now, arbitration, a lot of it's like on counting stats, which is still crazy to me in 2020. But you have to figure that out. And as of, well, I think yesterday, maybe today, there's a transaction freeze in baseball. So, like, nothing can happen. Not that there was a lot happening before, but you literally can't sign anyone now or trade anyone now. It's just like, nope, hold on for a while.
I think on the draft front, the only thing I'll say is I hope MLB doesn't. I mean, I think I was surprised that the reported it's going to be down to 5 rounds. I hope that baseball does right by all of these draftees, all these high school seniors and college seniors, and I mean just everybody who's draft eligible. I hope they figure out whatever the solution is. I don't have the solution. I don't think anybody does right now, but I hope they do right by those guys. They already make pennies on the dollar once they're in the lower levels of the minor leagues. I hope that whatever they land on, the players don't get completely screwed because – you know, this is not their problem, right? Like, none of them asked for this. They should be getting ready. They should be, you know, playing games in front of dozens of scouts all the time. You know, nobody expects them to. And, you know, if you're a player now and there's only 5 rounds, I mean, what do you do? That's going to be 150 picks or something like that compared to the thousands that normally get drafted every summer. I don't know. It's going to be a real mess. And I hope that whatever baseball does land on, those kids don't get screwed out of an opportunity too bad.
Yeah, and I think it's worth pointing out that that's the fewest rounds. It could still be longer than that, which is hopefully it would be. But as someone who's done a little bit of, you know, history and reading about negotiations of CBAs, different sports for my other sports work, oftentimes the first set of people that get screwed in a negotiation between players and owners is future draftees, because they're not lobbying. They're not part of the discussion. So I know in the NBA world that happens, and it seems like in this particular negotiation, one of the first giveaways that the MLBPA was willing to do was this draft thing, because there's no one in the room that's fighting for the people that aren't in the room. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, you're just right.
So the draftees always get screwed by this stuff, and you can sort of see why, because, you know, the guys in the MLBPA are worried about themselves, and I guess that makes sense. But, you know, the next, you know, this crop of players that might be drafted, the best of the best will be fine. They might have a little bit less money up front, but they're going to get their money. It'll be fine. But, you know, that 17th round pick that becomes a great story may not be drafted. Now, you can still get signed. Like, it isn't as if your journey ends if you're not drafted in the first, you know, 7 rounds, if they only have a 7-round draft. But yeah, it becomes more difficult in some respects. So, yeah. They seemingly gave a lot away on the draft, which I understand, but I also, it sucks for those guys.
Well, and if you're a team, I would imagine that they weren't fighting too hard to expand the draft, because they don't, you know, their scouts have been pulled. There's, of course, no high school games of any kind going on.
It saves them money too. I mean, ownership doesn't want to spend money on the draft right now because they're not making money.
Sure.
It's just, that's the biggest domino. I mean, I think GMs and front office staff would be represented in some way, but in the end, this kind of deal is a negotiation between ownership and players, and the people that would want the draft are front office people, and they're not in the room either. It's like owners don't want to spend money on players before they, especially players that are not going to do them any good right now at this moment. Like if you're a top 10 pick in the draft, you're making, you know, millions of dollars up front, and you're not going to arrive for at least 2 years, even if you're a college player usually. Yeah. So like that's an outlay of money that ownership does not want to necessarily do right now, which I also get. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Strange dynamics up and down.
Simpler times, Brad. If only we could go back to March 8th and talk about the Braves bullpen problems. Or no, actually, how good the bullpen is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, we spent more than an hour on like three or four straight podcasts talking about, you know, deep dives into players and what was going to happen with the roster. And if and when they play, we'll probably do a little bit of that again. But those are still irrelevant. I will say that if you are a Braves fan that is maybe finding this podcast for the first time or a rare time, there's plenty of season preview content that we have produced that is almost all still relevant. The only way that it won't be relevant is if like Cole Hamels never plays for the Braves because of this weird cancellation. Yeah. But other than that, all the guys who are there, the Braves have no new injuries. They have nothing. It's not like Noah Syndergaard. And by the way, we'll probably do some NL East talk at some point. And man, the Mets.
Yeah, that even when there's no baseball, the Mets still have the Mets.
Unbelievable.
That was brutal. I guess if there's ever a time for that to happen, it's probably now, right? On the chance. But I mean, you never want a serious injury like that. But yeah, when I saw that come through, it's like only the Mets could lose one of their ace pitchers when there's not even baseball happening and hasn't been happening for a few weeks.
Yeah, just bizarre. But anyway, I know you and I were, at least in my head, I was a little bit worried that we'd have not a lot to talk about. And here we are at the 48-minute mark, Scott. So
there you go.
That's what you and I do on this podcast. And granted, we actually had some baseball talk on this show because of the clutch timing of the new agreement between the two sides. So I'm not sure we'll have much more in the next couple of weeks in terms of like actual live baseball talk. It depends on what happens with the negotiations and all that fun stuff and the timelines, but we do have a couple ideas. As I said before, we have a couple ideas for podcasts, whether it be you know looking back a little bit at old Braves stuff or movies or NL East previews, etc. We'll have some more content coming in the future, but I wanted to get something out to you guys. It had been almost 2 weeks and I don't want to go too long. We might skip a week here and there during this hiatus because there's just not that much to talk about, but I enjoy talking to Scott and Eric, so here we are.
There we go. Yeah, what else are we going to do, right? Like, you can only watch reruns of, like, what's on. I have Harry Potter on TV right now. I can only watch Harry Potter so many times, Brad, so it's always a treat to talk to you, sir.
You as well, my friend. As for everybody else, please subscribe to the podcast. And by the way, we do have content going up at talkingchop.com. I have not written anything, but there were some roundtables. We'll have stuff going up. That's baseball driven, Braves driven. So don't have any fear. There'll be something for you to read almost at all times. Plus this podcast network, Road to Atlanta, still on it. So subscribe, please read the site. Scott, have you written anything recently? I know I haven't, but there you go.
I haven't. I've been in my day job. I've been pretty crazy the last few weeks, as has everybody. But So I haven't had too much time, but I got to get with Chris Willis, our fearless leader, and chat with him. I have some stuff on the back burner I've been thinking about, just, you know, as trying to take your mind, as we talked about, literally anything but sitting there and watching the news all day. I'll get back into writing here soon, but nothing lately, no.
I'm looking at the front page right now of talkingchop.com. There's a mailbag from Chris. There's some prospect stuff. There's a write-up of the deal that we've been talking about from Eric. Of course, good old Eric writing up content. There's some other there's Starry Knives for Corey McCartney. Some Tyrell Jenkins content on the site that I'm looking at right now, which is amazing. Ooh. So there's just all kinds of things. Check out the site. Check out the podcast. Subscribe, all that stuff. Thank you again, Scott. We'll do this again very soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Everybody listening, stay healthy. Stay home as much as you can. We'll get through this thing.
Yes, we will. And stay tuned, everybody. If nothing else, we'll see everybody next time.